For 3 months, British Petroleum's Deepwater Horizon oil rig spill in the Gulf of Mexico leaked an estimated 5 million barrels. That's 200 million gallons of crude oil before it was capped in late July, then permanently plugged September 19th. The oil slick at its worst covered 4,000 square miles. Pools of it were pulled by the Gulf Loop current southeast along the Florida coast and up into the Atlantic. Untapped petroleum reserves naturally seep into the ocean, which has remarkably evolved a capacity via bacteria to consume the thick sludge. But this was catastrophic, a leak of historic proportions. According to NOAA, about half of the oil leaked into the Gulf remains on or below the surface. Others say as much as 75% of it is still unaccounted for. Among the first responders was the National Audubon Society. Kevin Pearson is vice president of National Audubon's Lower Mississippi Flyway Program. He manages the states of Arkansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana.
Well, the Gulf Coast, and in particular those marshes in Louisiana, are incredible places for biodiversity. It's also, when you think about this time of year and all the birds that are migrating, you know, over 60% of birds in the U.S. utilize that corridor through all along the Mississippi River, and then so Louisiana and those marshes are kind of the front door after that long journey across the Gulf of Mexico, and so it's a very important place for birds and wildlife.
Beaches and preserved ecosystems along a three-state stretch absorbed the brunt of this spill.
Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. There's a number of national wildlife refuges and preserves mainly in Louisiana, but also in Mississippi.
Thanks to hundreds of miles of containment booms, barriers, along with skimmer ships, everything was deployed to help protect estuaries, wetlands, and beaches. If you look at an oil and gas infrastructure map, you'll see a constellation of dense clusters of wells, both onshore and off, in this very resource-rich region. But it also holds incredible ecological treasure, including the Delta National Wildlife Refuge in Louisiana and offshore the Breton National Wildlife Refuge.
The place to keep in mind was the Chandelier Islands is another one. And then when you talk about Breton, that was also, you know, that was the second sanctuary that Teddy Roosevelt set up, and it was the only one he visited. So, you know, the oil spill was... you know, it's not only was it are these places important for the environment, but you know they really are. Many of these places date back to the beginnings of the conservation movement and some of our very first places that we put aside to protect.
And the timing of this spill, this specific season, could not have been worse, Pearson said.
It was the height of the breeding season. You know, those birds of the Gulf Coast, they nest colonially. They nest on barrier islands. And then they, you know, they feed on fish in the nearshore waters. So think about that for a minute in terms of the oil spill. When you have brown pelicans and beach nesting terns and gulls in great numbers on very low-lying islands out in the Gulf, feeding in the open water at the height of their breeding season with many more birds coming through.
U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service naturally chose Audubon as a first responder because of its historic presence in the region.
It's an interesting story because what Fish and Wildlife told us is they have people to go out and get old birds and bring them back. They have the rehabilitation centers set up, but what they don't have is anyone to take the birds, the old birds, from the boats to the trucks to take them to the centers. And so actually one of Audubon's first jobs was stationing volunteers at four different docks along the coast and just taking the old birds off the boats into the trucks where they could be rehabilitated. And the other thing that's just remarkable about chapters and volunteers in the Audubon network is we got that request at about 11 p.m. and had volunteers on all the docks at 6 a.m. the next morning.
The Moss Point Beach Cleanup Stewards Oil Bird Transfer Station helped to save many oiled birds, Pearson said.
you know, a lot of areas were oiled. Many marshes, many birds were affected. Actually, as of on September 16th, the Fish and Wildlife Service issued the first numbers that we've seen. And so about 4,600 birds were collected. Of those, about 3,600 were dead. So about 1,000 that were collected were rehabilitated in those four centers and released. So it's certainly it's not as significant as it could have been, but 4,000, you know, almost 5,000 birds is still 5,000 birds, and that's a serious issue.
The highest bird mortality occurred among laughing gulls. Lots of gulf breeding species were also affected. Brown pelican, American oyster catcher, Wilson's plover, reddish egret, black skimmer, clapper rail, and mottled duck. Then there's the migratory birds, including the common loon, blue-winged teal, American white pelican, northern harrier, and peregrine falcon, some of which summer in parts of Arkansas. And who knows how many more birds died at sea or in obscurity along isolated coastlands. Surviving oiled birds were also taken to rehab centers set up in Hammond, Louisiana, Theodore, Alabama, and Pensacola, Florida. Once stabilized, they were washed several times, fed, and their condition logged. Those that survived were banded and released into habitats not threatened by the oil spill. Now scientists are studying the long-term effect of chemical dispersants sprayed on the ocean's surface to dissolve the oil muck.
Our expertise is with birds and not with chemical solvents, you know, thousands of gallons going into, you know, unknown effects. So we really don't know, and we've had to rely on some of our partners on that. The Ocean Conservancy, Oceana, others are looking at that. But when you think about birds, you know, think about the food chain as well. And so those chemicals in the water, we've already talked about the birds that feed in the open water. In addition to the chemicals, what's the lasting effect of the oil that hit the sand and the invertebrates that were killed? You know, how? What is the effects on this on the food supply?
So the estuaries and seashores are mostly clean of surface oil now, would you say?
I would not say that.
No.
You can. There's still many, many places where you can go and you can reach your hand into the sand and you can squeeze the sand and oil will come out in your hands. There's still oil in many of the marshes. Our probably big mission now is to tell people this is not cleaned up and this is not over.
A recent article published on Audubon Magazine's website said voters in the Gulf Coast states, both Republican and Democrat, overwhelmingly support restoring the health of the region, and they want BP to pay for it. The U.S. government is holding British Petroleum responsible and accountable for all cleanup costs and other damage.
One of the things last week was in the news as well. The Secretary of the Navy, Ray Mabus, has produced a plan for not just response to the oil spill, but restoration of the Gulf. And one of the key recommendations in that plan is that EPA will assess fines to BP. You know, and it will be based on barrels or gallons of oil, and it'll be a big number. But with EPA, those fines will just go into the general treasury, and they can be spent on anything. And so one of the things that in the Mabus plan is that Ray Mabus urges Congress, really the Senate, to make sure that those dollars go back to coastal Louisiana.
And Kevin Pearson says the National Audubon Society is on task for as long as it takes to restore damaged Gulf Coast preserves. Reporting for Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.